Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7. Psalm 32, verse 7, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And our subject this morning is the best place to hide. The best place to hide. Thou art my hiding place. That's what we read in verse 7 of this glorious Psalm 32. And this is, of course, a psalm of David. David, who is King David, the most famous king of the Old Testament and writer of the majority of the Psalms under inspiration of God. And not only is it written that this is a psalm of David, but you have that Hebrew word, maskil. Just under where it says Psalm 32, a psalm of David, maskil. Now, there is some difference of opinion as to what that word actually means, maskil, but the best suggestion is that the word maskil indicates that this is a psalm of instruction. So that word is a descriptive word. It describes what kind of psalm it is. This is a psalm of instruction. And what is the instruction that is being presented to us here in Psalm 32? Well, the instruction that we see as we read the opening words is how to be blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. This is what David is setting out right from the very start of the psalm. This is what he is instructing us in. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it take to be blessed? What is the definition of blessedness? And David tells us, this is his instruction, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. This is what it means to be blessed, to be supremely happy, to know true joy. It's about knowing the Lord. It's about knowing his mercy and his grace. This is what it is to be blessed. It's not about having earthly things. It's not about having lots of money. That's not what David says. He was a rich man. Of course, he was a king. That's not what he points to being blessed. It's not about having lots of money, not about having a big house, not being famous. Do you want to know? I will instruct you what it is to be truly happy and to be truly blessed. This is about the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You want to be truly happy? You won't find it in the things of this world, in earthly things, in material things. It's only when you seek spiritual things. It's only when you seek the Lord. It's only when you know the forgiveness of sins. That is authentic happiness, authentic joy, not fake joy that we have in this world, everybody putting on an act. True joy, to be supremely happy, is to know the Lord and to know the forgiveness of all our sins. So this is a great part, isn't it, of the gospel message. This is what we declare to all those around us. Everyone in this world is looking for happiness, for true joy. And this is what we say to them. You will only find it in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You will only find it in him. If you make him your hiding place, as we read here in verse 7. And this will be my focus this morning, this part of the verse. I preached on this, on these words before a little while ago, so God willing, hopefully none of you will remember much about that, so I won't be repeating myself. But this verse is so wonderful. It's a beautiful title, isn't it, for the Lord? It's a beautiful way to describe the Lord our God. Thou art my hiding place. The Lord our God is a hiding place. He's a place to hide. What a wonderful thought that is. What a wonderful description. And this is not, of course, the only place in Scripture where we read of the Lord being described in this way. Just in the previous psalm, Psalm 31, reading from verse 19, O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. David again is speaking about how God hides us. In Psalm 143 in verse 9, we read, Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Again, David speaks of the Lord being his hiding place, the place where he flees. I flee unto thee to hide me. And Psalm 27 verse 5, For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. And many other places we could go to, but you get the point. God is a hiding place. He is a hiding place. God is somewhere to hide. That is how we can think of the Lord our God. Now, before I begin to explain what exactly that means by looking at some of the verses in this psalm, let me make it clear what it does not mean. It does not mean that if you are a Christian, you should hide yourself away from the world. These words, when we talk about God being a hiding place, this does not mean that you cut yourself off from the rest of the world. You do not cut yourself off from your family or from your friends. You don't have to go and live in a monastery if you are a Christian. That's not what these words mean. It does not mean that you have to hide away like that. We are not taught to hide away from the world. We are taught to be distinct, yes, to be different from the world, but not to hide away. We have to reach out to the world around us. That's what the scriptures teach. We are to reach out to the world, and we are to lead them to the same hiding place that we have. That's really what the duty of a Christian is. We don't hide ourselves away from the world. We reach out to the world and we point them to the same hiding place. You see, this hiding place that we have, it's a large hiding place. That's one of the ways in which we can describe it. This hiding place in the Lord, there is always room for more people to come in. There's always room. Some hiding places, if you ever hide, there is no room. There's just place for you. But this hiding place, there is always room for more to come in and to benefit from the shelter and the protection and the refuge that the Lord supplies. And indeed, God commands us to go out and to bring people into this hiding place. Don't just hide away from the world. You have to go out and bring people into this hiding place. So to put it another way, this is not a hiding place that we keep a secret. This is a hiding place that we declare out loud. It's quite a strange hiding place. Sometimes we hide, we keep it a secret. We don't want anyone to know where we are hiding. But this is a hiding place that we declare out loud. We tell the whole world where we are hiding. We tell the whole world where we are hiding, and we invite the whole world to come in and hide with us. This is the nature of this hiding place. So I hope you have the right idea. This isn't about us hiding away from the world. We actually declare to the world around us, come and hide with us. We found the best hiding place. He is our God. So that's the right way to take it. We don't hide ourselves away, but we invite others to come and to hide with us. But let me expand on this theme then. When David calls the Lord his hiding place, what exactly does he mean? Well, first of all, my first heading is that he means that the Lord is a hiding place from trouble. a hiding place from trouble. Psalm 32, verse 7, thou art my hiding place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Well, in this life, of course, in this world, and David knew this himself, in this fallen world, we all know troubles of many kinds. We all know trials of many kinds, many challenges, many difficulties and hardships. Maybe we have financial worries. Maybe there are times of poverty in our lives. Maybe there are challenges in the workplace. I know many people who will say they have difficulties in their workplace or in their places of education, in schools. Young people have issues at schools, bullying and so on that goes on. Sometimes we have times in our life that are times of sickness or times of grief, times of great grief, great mental strain, depression, mental health, bereavement. These are all troubles that we all have to live with. Every single one of us will deal with these things in our lives. In the book of Job, we read, don't we? Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Man is born unto trouble. And how do people cope? Those who don't know the Lord, how do they cope? What do they run to? What is their hiding place? Well, they have all sorts of things. Some people find their refuge in alcohol. They can't cope with the problems of this world. They flee to alcohol. Others go to drugs. Others immerse themselves in artificial worlds, movies, music, the internet, video games. These are their hiding places, their hiding places. The world is full of trouble. How do people cope? Everyone has to find a way to cope. And the alternative to God is, well, all of these things. But of course, dear friends, we have a far better hiding place. We have the Lord. We hide in him. We flee to him. We can pray to him. The unbeliever never prays. He doesn't know how to pray, and therefore he can't cope. We can flee to the Lord. We can pray to God. We cast all our cares before him. He is the God who cares for us. So we cast all our cares before him. He hears us. He answers us. He helps us. He intervenes in our problems. No other hiding place, no matter how much you drink, no matter how many drugs you take, that doesn't actually help the problem. God is a far greater hiding place. He helps us. He intervenes in our problems. He delivers us. We shall read of this later. He provides the answers to our prayers and to our needs. And we hide ourselves in his word, his promises. So many promises in the word of God to help us, to protect us, to provide for us. We hide ourselves in his word, which is always true. And these things strengthen us, dear friends. This is a hiding place that strengthens us. You know, alcohol, drugs, they weaken us. They actually weaken us. They make us less prepared or less strong to face the problems of this world. If you find any other hiding place, you're only ever weaker. This hiding place strengthens us for what remains in our lives. It makes us stronger. This is the hiding place that we have. So, dear friends, where are you hiding? I'm sure you cannot cope with the things of this world. None of us can. This is a fallen world. What do you do to cope? What is your coping mechanism? Dear friends, we point to this hiding place. The Lord our God. He is the greatest hiding place. He strengthens us. He blesses us. Make the Lord your hiding place. Make Christ your hiding place. God is Christ. Christ is God, the second person of the triune Godhead. You have to flee to him for refuge. He will bless you. Remember what he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. In the gospel according to John, in the world ye shall have tribulation. This is a fallen world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, come and hide in me. You will have tribulation. This is a horrible world, but I have overcome it. Hide yourself in me, my hiding place. David knew this even in the Old Testament. And this is part of what this means. Thou art my hiding place. But secondly, it's a hiding place not just from trouble, but from our enemies. David, in his life, had a number of enemies. Some of you will know the account of the life of David very well. He had many enemies. You will know how King Saul, for example, wanted to kill David because he was envious of him, because he saw him as a threat. So he pursued him and he wanted him dead. And so what did David do? He would flee to his God. He prayed to his God. God was his hiding place. And God protected him. He would cry out to the Lord time and time again, and the Lord proved to be his faithful protector from his enemies. Well, dear friends, this is the same for us. The Bible teaches us, in fact, that we all have an enemy. We all have an enemy in particular, a spiritual enemy, a fallen angel whose name is Satan. Yes, of course, we believe there is a Satan. We don't speak about him very much, certainly not in the gospel service very often. But yes, we believe in Satan just as surely as there is a God. There is Satan, an adversary. And you know, he's the enemy of every one of us. He's constantly pursuing us, just as Saul was constantly pursuing David, his enemy. Satan is constantly pursuing you and tempting you to do things that are not good for us. Satan wants us to do those things that will harm us. Satan wants us to do those things that will humiliate us. He is our enemy, and he is far more powerful than us. Dear friends, however strong you think you are, Satan is more powerful than you. He is smarter than you. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He knows exactly how to cause you to fall into sin. And you are, in a great sense, under his control, under his dominion, if you don't know the Lord. Where can we hide from Satan? Satan is pursuing us. It's only in Christ. It's only in him. Otherwise, you are always at the beck and call of Satan. You do exactly as he tempts you to. There's no other hiding place. Only Christ is the hiding place. And Satan, well, he wants you dead. Just like Saul wanted David dead. Satan, what does he want really? To show you a good time? No, of course not. He wants to take your life. He wants to keep you away from Christ. He wants to keep you away from Christ, who is life. If he can keep you away from Christ, well, then ultimately what will happen to you? You will die. If he keeps you obsessed with worldly things, distracted by worldly things, do this, do that, forget about God, well, then you will die. That's the great enemy that we have, Satan. He wants you to die, just as Saul wanted that for David. Dear friends, you have to flee to Christ. You will die unless you make Christ your hiding place. Dear friends, he is our only hope. Otherwise, you are a slave to Satan. You are taken him. And, well, let me add another thing. There is another enemy that we have to consider. It's not just Satan. There is another enemy. And who is the enemy of man, of natural man? It is man himself. It's man himself, fallen man, in his natural state. And I say this very often, is his own worst enemy. Do you know that? If you're unregenerate, if you don't know the Lord, you are your own worst enemy. We are sinners. The Bible teaches this. You know this. The Bible teaches us that we are sinners by nature. Sinners by birth. We are born sinners. And that means that we are born with a natural rebellion against God. And we are not inclined to do what God says. We read the word of God. We hear the instruction to repent, to have faith. We are not inclined to do what God says. We're inclined to do what Satan says. When Satan says something, in our nature, we're willing to go with him, to side with him. That's our nature. We are our worst enemy. We are an enemy. It's Satan, yes, But we want to go with him. We are interested in what Satan has to offer. We're not interested in what God has to offer by nature. We're more interested in what Satan offers to us, the things of this world. Yes, I want that. But dear friends, that is because we are our own worst enemy. And this is, well, is that you? We follow the way that we want to go. If we do that, we're following a way of destruction, dear friends. We are our own worst enemy. How can we protect ourselves from ourselves? We have to find a hiding place. We hide from Satan. You know, in a sense, we have to hide from ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know, he's not speaking about Satan here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, you are your own worst enemy. Yes, there's Satan in the background, but he only has an influence upon you because of you. Because of you. And so when we think of the hiding place, protecting ourselves from our enemies, we have to be protected from ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. We have to repent. We have to die to ourselves and hide in the Lord. It's only by hiding in Christ that we can protect ourselves from our enemies, from Satan, from ourselves. It's only by the power of Christ. Dear friends, time is running on. My third heading, and this follows on from what I've just said. God, of course, Christ, of course, is a hiding place from sin. From sin. Now, I've been talking about God being a hiding place and the best hiding place that anyone could ever have. And yet, the irony, of course, and I should have mentioned this earlier, the irony is that what do we see all around us? We see people hiding from him. God is the best hiding place, but there are so many people hiding from him, not wanting to hear about him, not wanting anything to do with him. When you knock on doors inviting people to church, they shut the door in your face quite often. They're hiding from God. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to hear the gospel at all. What are they doing, really? They're hiding from God. And why do they do that? It's because they want to hide their sin. They don't want to be called sinners. They don't want their sins to be revealed. They don't want to be convicted of sin. They don't want to be found guilty. They want to believe they're good people because that's what they've always thought about themselves. I'm a good person, and I don't want to come to a church and have my sins revealed, so I'm going to hide from God. That's what it is. God is the best hiding place, but there are so many hiding from him. Just like, well, Adam, of course, what did Adam do when he sinned? The first man. He sinned against God. What was the first thing he did? He went and hid himself. He was hiding. God was calling out to him, "Where are you, Adam?" He was hiding because he had sinned. He didn't want his sin, his shame exposed. Dear friends, this is what the natural man is like. He's just like Adam. We have all sinned. We have all lied. We've all stolen, coveted, lusted, hated in our hearts. We have all sinned, but somehow we think we can hide our sins. And we don't want to be exposed as guilty, but that is so foolish. You cannot hide your sin from God. There is that verse, of course, isn't there? In the Old Testament, be sure your sin will find you out. If you are hiding your sin, you cannot hide it forever. Be sure your sin will find you out. We must all stand before God, and you most certainly cannot hide your sin from him. He knows all that you have done. Are you ready for that day? We all must stand before the Lord. And if we are without the Lord, well, we must pay the price. Dear friends, you have to find the hiding place. And let me put it to you in this way. If you want your sins to be hidden, if you want your sins to be truly hidden, eternally hidden, you must go to this hiding place. It sounds strange, doesn't it? If you want your sins to be hidden, you must go to the Lord. You must confess your sin to God, as David did. We read of this in this very psalm. Look at verse 5. What does David say? I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. You see, he didn't hide his sin from God. He confessed his sin. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You see what happens here? Instead of hiding his sin from God, he confessed his sin to God. And what did God do? Well, in a sense, he hid all of David's sin. He forgave all of David's sin. He hid them. And this is what the gospel is, dear friends. When you come to the Lord confessing all your sin, don't hide them. Confess all your sin. God will hide them. He hides them in Christ. And you know this, when Christ died on the cross, all of our sins, they were taken from us, they were placed upon him, and he bears them all away. It's as though he hides them from view, hides them for all eternity. You will never see your sins again because Christ has paid the price. They're hidden, they're blotted out. That's what the Bible says elsewhere. What does blotted out mean? It means they're hidden. Your sins will never be seen. In another part of the scriptures, God says that he has thrown all our sins into the depths of the sea. They are hidden, never to be unearthed again. Dear friends, if you want your sins to be hidden, if you want to be rid of your sins, if you don't want any condemnation for your sins, you have to go to the Lord. So dear friends, again, let me put it to you in this way. In order to hide your sins, you must seek the Lord. Hide and seek. In order to hide your sins, you must seek the Lord. And your sins will be done away with. And you will be made right with God. And you will receive acceptance with him and all the blessedness that David speaks of, all his love forevermore. If you want to hide your sins, you have to seek. Seek the Lord in repentance and faith. Dear friends, this is the gospel, and I hope you're getting a better understanding of what David means when he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Let me just close with that part. Thou shalt compass me about or surround me with songs of deliverance. Many times David was delivered in his life. Because he made God his hiding place, he was delivered so many times from Saul, from even his own family members at times who wanted to do away with him. But what was the greatest deliverance? It was the deliverance from his sin. You know, David sinned. He sinned a great sin of adultery, Bathsheba. He murdered Uriah, Bathsheba's wife. This was the great deliverance that he had. That really was his hiding place. Hide me from the condemnation. I am a sinner, Lord. Hide me in Christ. He has taken the punishment for my sin. I have no other hope. And dear friends, because God has done this for him, he will always sing that song of deliverance. Those who are in Christ will forever sing a song of deliverance in heaven. That's what we'll be doing, singing a song of deliverance. Christ has saved me to the uttermost. He was my hiding place then. He will be my hiding place forevermore. A glorious hiding place. Dear friends, where are you hiding? You cannot hide forever if you are hiding somewhere else. We all have to stand before God one day. And well, we read in the scriptures, the unbeliever will be looking to futile things to hide them. They'll be saying to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us, hide on us. We have to stand before God, be our hiding place. Those are useless. It's only in Christ. If you trust in Christ, then you are safe. If you're hiding in him, then you are safe. Don't cry to the rocks and the mountains. Cry out to Christ now. Go to the Lord now, and he will be your everlasting hiding place. Well, may the Lord bless these wonderful truths to us